Thursday morning, December 18, 2025. It is the Beating the Book podcast megapod for week 16 in the National Football League, live from the SiriusXM studios at the beautiful Wynn Las Vegas studios. Gil Alexander streaming live on VSiN. This will be available, of course, in podcast form, like it always is, in case you don't get all of this on the Beating the Book feed. As always, the staples of the show. He doesn't want me to phrase it this way, so I caught myself beforehand. From somewhere east, Todd Wishnev, everybody. Toddy!
Seriously? Seriously, we're going to do this? Okay.
Okay. I'm just whatever. Saying.
Noted.
Way to do it.
Noted.
What did I do wrong? I just wanted
noted,
to...
Noted, you know. My friend Gil Alexander, I ask you something to do, and this is how you treat me. Hey.
Let me know. We're all waiting. Todd Wishnev, everybody, at T Wishnev, where he is now. I cannot even... Should I even say it out loud?
You want to whisper just it. Pretend it's not happening.
He's over 100 units in college basketball. Triple digits. Todd Wishnev, whose Discord is now closed for the time being, yes?
Yeah, we're pausing a little bit.
Pausing. Okay. Todd, need a little more energy. You know the energy you used to have and this current energy? Mm-hmm.
I was exhausted. I was watching Oregon and Portland at like all hours of the night.
Okay. Will Hill, not from anywhere specific either, just to make it democratic, at not the Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Willie,
Gilly, Todd, Parles, great to be with you guys. Great to see everyone. Yes, coming from a general location, and I can't help but notice and reflect the last time the four of us were together doing a podcast, college basketball, March of 2023, one of the great podcasts we've ever done.
One of the greatest podcast episodes, the March Madness podcast, where you guys will correct me if I'm wrong here. You, Will, had Florida Atlantic going to the Final Four, which they did. Todd ends up having a really awesome bracket. How far did you get with Michigan State and San Diego State, Todd? What did you have?
I would have been second in the whole DraftKings one. I had San Diego State and UConn in the final game.
That's right. And had you, and I made a couple pleas during the segment, during the episode, hey, Todd, you know, your bracket is definitely like off the beaten path. If you do well with this, you could score really high in contests.
I tried to join. I tried to join one, but I didn't remember that I could still use DraftKings for the contest because I was in the habit of not even looking at DraftKings anymore at that point because I couldn't use them.
So you didn't try to join. You forgot to join is what you're saying.
Well, I didn't realize that was an option because, okay, whatever. Anyways, again, I'm an idiot.
Join. Yeah, you're an idiot. Okay, that's all I
ended up costing myself $35,000. Thankfully, I didn't cost myself $1 million.
That is the real story. Thank God you didn't win.
And Doug Wedge, your listener, doesn't even send me any money. You should send me at least $15,000. Thanks, Doug.
The other part of that podcast, of course, was Jeff Parlay, Grover Cleveland of producers on A Numbers Game. He was there too. He used to co-host this podcast for two seasons, was it? 2 years?
One season.
One and done.
Yeah.
He had better things to do. It wasn't us. We didn't send him off and running. He had better things to do. Jeff Parles, who now we can say is at the local station here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, here at ESPN Vegas, here in town. It's great to be with you, Gil. It's an honor to be back. It's great to be on with Will. And it's great to be on with the greatest better in the history of time, Gil.
God, I told him. I said, all,
Jeffrey
by the way.
Parles. How the hell?
This is breaking news. When Todd was doing his numbers game hit the other day, off air, I told this to Jeff. Off air, he says to me and Kelly, and he was like kind of being serious, but kind of not. He goes, you know, Gil, I'm starting to think I might be the best better of all time.
I meant in college basketball in game. That's what I meant.
Well, in that, you actually might be. That's the truth.
I wasn't saying in everything.
I know. Megapod historian Tim Lawson, who in honor of the 15th year of this podcast. Wow, 15. It's amazing every time. He says, Jeff Parles has one of the more unique sets of appearances on the Beating the Book NFL Megapod. He debuted in week 6 of 2019. He appeared on the show 3 times that year, twice in the regular season and again for the Super Bowl episode that season. Wow, were we hard up for guests or something? You're on 3 times, Jeff. He appeared 3 more times in subsequent seasons before becoming a co-host for the Megapod in 2022. This is his 7th episode as a guest. He struggled to find winners in his 2019 appearances, but has gone 5-4 since, plus a 27-25-1 showing as co-host. There you go. 27-25-1 as co-host. The Grover Cleveland of producers on a numbers game aims to add wins to his record as he takes the guest chair today for the first time since the 2022 season as co-host. There it is from Tim Lawson.
We love Tim. We love Tim. And I will say, I remember that the one season I was on the show as the co-host, I had one stretch, and Tim can correct me in the past. I had a stretch where I went 8-1 over a 3-week span, and then legitimately didn't win another one for 3 weeks. So that's betting the NFL for you.
Well, Todd's going to recite all of our records here, so don't feel too bad. Todd, what are the records? You're still in the
lead. I'm here to make you feel better.
Jeffrey Parles is here. We have to do.
Well, by the way, actually, one quick note before this, because Will brought up that famous podcast. Todd, do you remember my biggest contribution to that podcast?
Yes, well, I wasn't going to bring it up, Jeff. I was trying to be nice.
My biggest contribution to that one was I said, very famously and confidently so,
oh yeah,
that Rick Pitino's Iona team was going to beat UConn. That was wrong. And that I thought Danny Hurley was not a good coach. That was very wrong.
They
did have the lead at the half, Jeff. Remember, Iona had the lead at the half.
I remember, Will. I was like, oh, I'm going to be all over this. UConn is just stupid. They're not going to get it done. And then nope. Then UConn covers 12 straight tournament games. So there you go.
Well, since you bring it up, I should say that podcast episode was epic in both directions.
Yeah, pretty much.
The good and that comment right there. That's right. I was trying to be nice, Jeff.
No, I had to do it because Todd was going to defend it anyway, probably.
To defend Jeff at the time, living in Connecticut, Hurley was, I wouldn't say on the hot seat, but I would say it's like year 5 of his tenure, and he hadn't won a tournament game. They went 1-done and had a bad loss the year before to New Mexico State. And it was like, all right, like what's going to happen with this guy? It's better than Kevin Ollie and what he left us with. But like, when is he going to start winning? And then just the most ridiculous, like Jeff said, the most ridiculous 12-game stretch we've ever seen in the tournament.
And then he became the most arrogant man on earth after winning those 2 titles. Without
the
question.
The refs he doesn't get any calls. That's the only problem.
It doesn't get any calls. All right, Toddy, floor is yours.
In honor of Jeff, we have to do it. Then bet it! Then bet it!
Can you explain to people
what that is? What would happen is me and Jeff would be sitting in the sports book at the South Point, and I'd be like, oh, what do you think about Ball State and Ball State in Ohio, or we should bet the over. And Jeff would be like, whatever, I don't know. And then I would just keep annoying him. I think we should bet it. Then he would go, then bet it! Get me to leave him alone. And
the
then
part
he would.
That's so unbelievable of that story is that you wouldn't leave it alone.
Like, no, I have a tendency to be slightly annoying to those around me. And, it's fun. It's all fun in the family. But it's so funny because I think about Jeffrey all the time now, because there's a guy who sits with me now in the sports book now, and he can't believe that I can do so many team names. He asked me a team and I can get it in like 2 seconds, and then I go, if you think I'm good, you don't even know the greatest person of all time to get the team names. And that's Jeffrey Parles. So I always think about that. Whenever he asks me one and I get it in 2 seconds, I'm like, that's a joke. Why don't you ask me a hard one that I could lose? And Jeffrey Parles would get like North Florida Osprey.
Yeah, the Osprey. But the other Parles one that I love from the Southwood that you tell is, I think it was you, him, and Jeff's dad. We're sitting, maybe Jeff's dad wasn't there, but it was you both had the over in some game.
Oh, the Deshaun Watson interception.
Yeah.
I don't know if Todd had anything. I had the over in a Titans Texans game in 2019. Houston was driving, and Watson just throws this ghastly interception in the end zone. And I, like, not even missing a beat, like, go, go. We don't care who scores the points. Go, go. And hoping Tennessee brings it back for pick six. I don't think they did. I think they returned it like midfield, Todd. But that was one. I know Todd always loved that one because that was just not missing a beat.
Jeff Parlay play by playing the better's mind as it's happening to the whole South Point audience. It doesn't matter which team scores. So funny. All right, Todd, records. I want to hear it.
Well, we're back on top. The rightful leader of this podcast, as far as records go, Todd Wishnev, that would be me, is back on top with an outstanding 2-1 last week to move to 21-21-3. That's 50%. And puts
if I won that Niners game, you would tell me how lucky I am. So you got super lucky on the Niners.
Great point, Gilly.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Can I finish now? Sure. Anyways, 21-21-3 in first place. I lost my teaser to go to 6-9 in teasers. Gilly in second place. He needed a real strong showing last week, but instead throws up a 1-2 and had the Bills not come from the dead to come back. He would have picked up an 0-3, but the Bills saved him and he goes 1-2 to move to 21-24. So if you're scoring at home, folks, 21-21-3 versus 21-24 puts me up pretty nicely here. Gilly's going to have to do probably a 6-3, maybe a 7-2 to get home here. Willie went 1-2. He is now 13-30-2. Oh, teasers, he is 7-8.
The season, please, God.
It's impossible.
The guest chair, though. The guest
did I win
chair?
My teaser? I don't even remember. What was my teaser? I'm sorry,
no,
Tom.
You lost your teaser. Everybody lost
son
their teasers because we had the Bengals.
So you
moved to 7-8, but you're still the leader in teasers. Gilly is 5-10 on teasers. He's never been a big teaser guy. The guest went 3-0. That was one Dr. Bob who comes on and tells us he never doesn't get a 2-1, and he was right. He smacked
him out of the ballpark.
Are
you sure it wasn't Computer Bob,
Toddy? Yeah, Bob, actually. My fault. It was Computer Bob. Bears. He hit Bears, Rams, and Steelers. And it did it pretty convincingly. And it's 26-18-1 for the guest chair and 9-6 on the teaser, as he's the only one who won his teaser last week with Bears and Commanders. So that's where we are.
If the guest chair wins, are they the champion or is the championship only between the three of us?
The championship is only between the actual people because the guest chair, we can't give 1/18 of the championship to each guest. So clearly, the guest chair. It's kind of like these lines are put not for promotional purposes, not for actual gambling. You know, when they always used to say, okay, well, you can't gamble on politics in this state, but we put up these odds for promotional purposes. It's the same idea.
All right, Dumbo of the Week. There wasn't a lot of coaching Dumbo of the Week.
I texted you one, didn't I? Oh, I know who it is.
Let me finish. You don't have to interrupt everything. So there's only one coach, and I'll sort of try to force feed the coach in. But yes, the player that you mentioned is probably going to win the Dumbo of the Week. The coach is, and I'm not sure if this is Dumbo of the Week, but you can tell me. Broncos up 34-26 against the Packers. 5:04 left, 4th-and-3 at the Green Bay 45. And Peyton decides to go for it. Nick's incomplete intended for Mims Jr. I thought that was a little arrogant. The next time they had the ball, 4th-and-1 at the Green Bay 37 with 1:12 left. That one I kind of get that they went for because it was 1 yard to clinch the game. Adam Prentice was stuffed for no game. But anyway, Green Bay ended up having shorter fields twice in one possession games. So that was kind of...
That didn't kill me. I wasn't so upset with that.
The one for sure is this, and you'll immediately recognize it, Todd, because you pointed it out at the moment. New Orleans and Carolina. New Orleans tied with Carolina from their own 9-yard line with 57 seconds left. Shuck to Audric Estime for 19, then Estime for 9, to Olave for 15. 2 plays later, it's 2nd-and-10 at the Carolina 48 with 12 seconds left. Remember, all they need is a field goal. Shuck goes for 4 yards, but Lathan Ransom hits him after he gave himself up, after Shuck gave himself up. Instant field goal range. 2 plays later, Charlie Smythe from the International Player Pathway Program from 47 bisects the uprights. The upright Saints win it.
They had no timeouts. They had no timeouts. So all they had to do was not touch the guy, and the game was going to overtime. That one was unbelievable.
Dumbo of the Week.
Were those the only nominees? I had a couple that came to mind. I'm curious what you guys think. Campbell, didn't he go for it 4th-and-1, his own 20-something? in that game against the Rams.
He did.
And then McDaniel, who Troy Aikman, I think he's probably still like talking to somebody, even though he's probably by himself, about Mike McDaniel and the lack of urgency. Even though I thought they were never winning that game, there's probably made too much of it. That was strange. The I wouldn't even say a hurry up offense, that walk up offense, whatever that was on Monday night.
Those are both great calls, Will, because Campbell got away with it, right? They got the first down. Detroit did against the Rams, if I'm not mistaken. But again, like going for it on fourth down deep in your own territory. And then the Mike McDaniel thing, what Will was talking about, is the Dolphins ended up like frantically calling three timeouts quickly at the end of the game. But the touchdown drive before that, and it cut it to, it was still a 13-point game to Will's point. But they showed no urgency whatsoever. The drive took almost 5 minutes. They're just lollygagging down the field, letting the play clock go down below 10 seconds. And they end up scoring to cut it to like 13, I believe it was. Don't hold me to that, but I think it was 13.
Yeah, 28-15.
And then at the end, they're like going nuts, calling timeouts, trying to get the ball back. Whether it would have mattered or not, who knows? But Aikman was right. He was like, what are they doing? Like, or do you want to win this or not? Kind of.
He wouldn't let it go either. He just kept going back to it. Well, he's like, I guess the onside kick, but why bother? That was so stupid. The way, I mean, he was really, which I kind of enjoy. These announcers, they can be, I don't mind a little. Yeah.
I like the new Troy Aikman. It's like he decided a couple years ago. He's like, you know what? I'm going to start saying shit. The first time he did it was in that playoff game with the Eagles, where Hurts, I can't remember the game. It was a home game for the Eagles. The year that they won, I don't know if it was the year they won or lost Super Bowl. I don't think it was last year. So I think it was the year they lost Super Bowl. But they, like Devontae Smith wasn't being targeted in the first half. And Aikman at halftime was like, if this were me, I would have been targeting Michael Irvin the entire first half. That was the first time I ever heard him. I was like, oh my God, Troy Aikman with an opinion, with a strong opinion going after people. And since then, I've loved him from then. But, what were we saying? It was $17 million a year, but he didn't. They don't deserve their $20 million because they forgot something else that we did.
Oh, I mean, this is a side. I don't want to derail things, but remember, Miami took the ball to start, which they do now, which is, you know, important for betting purposes, first quarter, stuff like that. But he said, I really like Miami taking the kickoff. And then he provided no reason. He just said he liked it. And he goes, I like that they're being aggressive, which, I mean, I don't know that that's aggressive. You're either going to get the ball to start the first or start the third. Aggressive is not the word I describe it, but he goes, I really like this. And then just kind of left it at that.
That's right. No reason provided for his opinion on that one. Todd, why are you in the dark? Why can't we see you? It's your big head in front of the light. There we go. Okay. Todd, any in-game for us?
I'm not really. I just, you know, I was winning all these fourth quarters with the plus 1.5. If you can get out in front of it, like I was saying, if you can bet it in the second quarter, a game that's going to be a blowout in the fourth, and you get these plus 1.5s in the, and they're just so juicy in the fourth quarter. And then, of course, the Cardinals this week, they're driving down with the third quarter running out there at like the 25-yard line. And I'm like, okay, just one more play, and then they'll get the touchdown in the fourth quarter. Of course, they get it at the end of the third quarter. But the reason I bring it up is even after that, the bad break of them scoring it late in the third quarter, they still had a chance to cover that fourth quarter because they got the backdoor touchdown, and they ended up losing, I think, 12-6 or something in the fourth quarter. And then at the end, they had a chance. The point is, it's just hard to beat you when you're getting the plus 1.5. You know, because so many of those games might end 7-6 because the team losing big goes for the two. But if you're getting that 1.5 points in the fourth quarter, it ends up being great. So, you know, in those games that you can, you know, forecast in your mind, hey, this is this is going to be a 35-3 in the fourth quarter. You got to jump on that early. And a kudos to my good friend Gilly, who called for plus 210 on the Buff Bills, one of his only wins of last week. He smelled it out. He just put that schnauzer right out there and sniffed out that the Bills were coming back. And he was absolutely correct. Great job by Gilly.
Well, you know what was interesting about that is you said afterwards, which I don't think was wrong. You were like, yeah, I saw you text that, but I wanted at least plus 250.
I felt the same way.
Yeah, and I think you guys were right? Like, I think you are correct that you should have probably gotten more than I got. But that's also, you know, just sort of that thing of, it's almost a, it's just one of those betting things that we all have to make decisions in the moment of, okay, it's probably not the right price, but do we pull the trigger on it anyway? And a Fezzik would say, yeah, you shouldn't bet that. On the other hand, it's plus 210, so good for me.
It's still a really good sniff out call by you.
It wasn't from the beginning of the comeback. It was 20. I think it was, they were down 10 and they had just held New England to a 3-and-out. So they'd already scored once, Buffalo. And you're like, oh, I see where this is going. And sure enough, Buffalo came back.
Wait, it was 20. I thought it was 21-7.
Yeah, maybe it was. Okay. Yeah, they weren't down. That's right. They weren't down 21. They were down 14. That's right. And then they held New England to a 3-and-out. That's when I jumped in at plus 215. Okay. Shall we to the best bets? Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this?
Before we start, I just want to say Jeffrey is probably one of the most fun persons to watch the games with and try to annoy and, you know, stuff like that. So he is really a lot of fun. I miss
you do that thing to him where you poke his arm. Oh, like come on.
Of course he does. I mean, that's the most automatic thing.
Jeff, go upstairs and get us the good popcorn. Go, Jeff, go.
Look, as always, the best value in the South Point was the popcorn at the bowling alley, as we know. And Todd, the soft pretzel has moved up the power rankings there as well.
Oh, really? Interesting. Yeah.
I have come very perilously close to punching Todd in the face with that poke thing that he does for a 50 times.
It happens. But, you know, those 2019 Sundays where Todd and I were in that South Point sports book together, those are as fun of days as you could have ever drawn up. Pre-COVID also is just unbelievable. And look, there are a zillion of those moments. So like, it just kind of shows also showing how good of an in-game better Todd was. Todd, you remember the Bucks and Rams game in 2019? Jameis Winston and Jared Goff, 7 points in the first quarter, and it ended up with 65.
Remember we were betting Jameis Winston over every single week, and the smarty pants were saying we're betting it in. You know, the Stevie Fezziks of the world, where it would come out 48, they would bet it down to 46, and then I'd be like, "You guys don't know what you're talking about. Jameis Winston's good for 3 touchdowns for himself, another 1 or 2 for the other team." You know, that was a great year. I think they went 14-2, the Bucks to the over that year.
That sounds right. And I know, obviously, Jameis threw that was the 30-30 year, which is still, in my mind, Willie and Todd, the greatest quarterback season in the history of the National Football League. The 30-touchdown, 30-interception year for Jameis Winston in 2019.
You know what was also great about those days you guys had at the South Point? It totally didn't smell of smoke in there.
So no, not at all.
That was a great feature.
I don't know how that smoke was so bad. I'd have to get up and move to the front row. Then you have to move to the left because it's like, that smoking is so bad.
So terrible. All right. Does anybody have a play in Thursday Night Football? This is a monster week, obviously, in the National Football League. We have some monster games. None more monster than tonight between the Seahawks and the Rams, which is for the number one spot in the NFC West. And the winner will also then have the number one seed, at least headed into next week in the NFC. And of course, there's only one team in each conference that gets a first round bye in the playoffs, which is oh so important. Todd, you said you have a play. I have a play, too.
What do you got for this side in total for the Los Angeles Rams playing the Seattle Seahawks?
Todd, I think Todd likes the over, so we can jack it up a little. It's 42.5, but I want to give him
42.5. That's what I like, folks. I'm going to go over the 42.5 in the Rams Seahawks. All the smarty pants is like Will the Thrill Hill, Stevie Fezzik, and all the weathermen across the world are all talking about the wind in Seattle. Oh, my God, there's wind. Can't score. You can't throw the ball. You can't do nothing. Oh, Davante Adams is out. This guy's out. That guy's out. No one can catch the ball. They'll be lucky if it's 6-3 in this game. That's all I'm hearing, this line crashing down. I don't think people have really seen what the scores of the Rams football games have been this year. They score 40 all the time by themselves. They score in the 30s all the time. Even the last game, which was a very low scoring game, I believe it was 22-21 between these two. That would have gotten you home in an extremely defensive struggle. I just think that Rams Seahawks, and now granted, the Seahawks did not look good on offense. Darnold's getting his late season doldrums all of a sudden. But I think that might just be a setup. And maybe they played the Colts last week and said, okay, let's not show anything. We've got our big game against the Rams the next week. We can beat Phil Fatso Rivers. You know, he's going to be tired in the second half after impregnating his wife at halftime for a record 476th kid. And we don't have to do a lot here against the Colts. And we won't show nothing. We won't. We'll be played bland as possible. And we'll just get to next week against the Rams and we'll pull out all the stops, you know, the next week. So I just don't remember seeing the Rams at 42.5. And, you know, Seattle also, it's not like they can't score. They've had tons of games where they're in the 30s and stuff. So, no, and granted, the defenses are great. Don't get me wrong, but still, I don't care about the wind. F you wind, over 42.5, Rams football.
Wow. That's a loser. Will, Jeff?
I think the wrong team's favored. I know Adams is out and you're going up to an extremely difficult place to play, but what has inspired confidence from Seattle the last 3 weeks? They barely beat Philip Rivers and the Colts. They get lucky because Myers was awesome. The Brosmer game wasn't that long ago. They scored one offensive touchdown in that game. I know they keep winning, but they have been pretty lackluster. And I know the first matchup, the Seahawks didn't play well and almost won that game in LA, but I don't really care that Devontae's not there. I don't care that Nacua has been in the news for stuff that you would not have expected Puka to be in the news for this week. That whole thing on the live stream with the refs was totally and completely out of character and bizarre. But
I saw something. What did he say exactly?
They're all lawyers and they don't make the right calls and they want the TV screen. They want the TV time. It was very out of character and very bizarre from Puka. But the Seahawks feel like the team that's at the top of the NFL that is a really good fade down the stretch. Todd already said it, the doldrums for Darnold. I just really hope they don't play the NFC South champion in the first round of the playoffs, because if they don't play the Bucs or the Panthers, I'm going to be on whichever division champion they play in round one.
I'm opposite the both of you.
Okay.
Wait, is Jeff made a pick here, or is that just a...
That is not an official play.
Oh, it's not official.
That is not an official play.
Oh, okay.
But I did want to at least get that out in the ether here.
I think I'm going to play this game twice, and I think I'm going to play... I do have... I made two bets during guessing lines. The question is, do I only play one from tonight and those two? I think I'm going to play both from tonight.
So this is a real pick. These are real pick. Two of your real picks tonight.
These are going to be two real picks. So I could go down in a, you know, burning flame with this. But I'm going Seattle and the under.
What's the line in Seattle? Wait,
-1.5. -1.5 on the spread, and on the total, I'm going under 42.5. What is it? Under? I'm seeing a lot of 43s.
Yeah, no, 43 seems to be.
Already did it at 42.5. It's been locked in. There's nothing you can do at this point. It's 42.5. That's it.
As the writer of the constitution of this here podcast, I don't think
there are a lot of 43s.
There's a lot of 43s.
You can't have two different lines.
Well, saying the line I saw, I was incorrect. There are a lot of 43s.
We both get 43s, Todd.
No, I don't want 43. I want 42.5.
But that's where most of them are.
No, right, they're not most. Then how did Will say 43?
I have to take your dumb line.
I am not getting Aaron Schatz here. We're flipping a coin. You ready? Heads or tails? For my number or your number. Here we go.
I don't trust you. Why should you flip?
Hey, no, go ahead. Go ahead. See, look.
Heads. I can't see, Todd. Tell us what it is. Todd,
what is it? Tails.
All right. It's 42.5, which is
bullshit. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's a heads.
All right. 43, which is what it should be. Let's be real about this. 43. We both get the 43.
I'm going under. I know that's exactly what
it is. Todd is going over. I'm going under. What Jeff was talking about this previous game, by the way, both when you go to like EPA per play, both teams are great, both offensively and defensively. Seattle's the best part is Seattle against the run, which takes away the Rams, you know, establishing the Rams running part of things. And with Devontae out, they're going to become a little too one-dimensional for my taste tonight. And without Devontae, even more so. The first game, as Jeff alluded to, was only 5 weeks ago. The Rams won that game 21-19. Darnold threw four picks. The Seahawks were -3 in turnovers. The Rams scored two of their touchdowns on short fields beginning at the Seattle 25 and the Seattle 3. And it was won. The game was eventually won by the Rams, despite the fact that they were plus three in turnovers and got the four Darnold interceptions and had the two short fields. They only won it when their punter, Ethan Evans, is that his name? Ethan Evans. Let me make sure I get that name right, because we all don't want to miss.
His name is Bob Evans. He's named after the restaurant
Bob
chain.
Evans is down Bob on the Evans. Farm. It was not Bob Evans. Ethan Evans punted the ball and pinned the Seahawks at the one. Less than the half yard line, actually. Seattle with 1:41 left on the clock and one timeout got to their own 38 with 17 seconds left. And then there was a PI on the Rams to the 49. So with 5 seconds left, they trotted out Jason Myers for a 61-yard field goal try, which was hella wide right. It had no chance. But the point is that if the Rams win tonight and they sweep the Seahawks, the Rams have the inside track not only in terms of record, but also with the tiebreaker then for the number one, for the top of that division and also the number one seed. That punt may go down as the most significant play of the Rams' entire season. But I don't think it's sustainable. I think the Seahawks can be half as good and beat the Rams tonight. I've got the Seahawks. And because the Seahawks don't have Charles Cross, our old buddy Charles Cross, some people might have missed because they took bad intel for a draft back in the day from you know who. Let's put it this way. I like the under. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game like the first one is. I worry about Darnold, right, from my Seahawks perspective and the under perspective, because the thing I'm guarding against is please don't throw four interceptions or three or two. And if you do, don't do them deep in your own territory, you bastard. So that's what I'm betting against. I got the Seahawks. I got the under. Let's go.
And you got an extra half point, Aaron Schatz like.
No, I didn't. I got the actual
yes,
line.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did, anyways.
He's already crying. See what's going to happen. He's going to lose.
I'm going to do an announcement of the game later, and you're going to see what's going to happen.
Or Gil, it's going to somehow land 42 and a half, and Todd's going to find a way to find yeah,
lose.
There you go.
He will
it's going to land on
a
half point somehow.
When
that's
it
what's
lands
gonna
on 42 and a half, yeah. He is going to lose his mind. All right, Jeff, your first one then, because that was not an official
play. That was not an official play. Will Hill, since I trust you the most of everybody on this, what is the predominant number on the Commanders and the Eagles?
Wow, he doesn't even trust me. Jeez.
There are some sevens starting to pop, and there are 44 and a half.
44 and a
half. All right,
are you guys
okay with those numbers?
You guys good with that?
The 44 and a half for sure. I am seeing, sevens across the board now.
Good. We'll take seven with Gilly's Washington Commanders.
I'm with you, man.
Against the Eagles, because what happened last week with Philadelphia was not the Eagles are back. It is the Raiders are the most pathetic football team I have seen in the last 15 years. That includes a winless Cleveland team. That includes a one-win Jacksonville team. That includes all these awful teams that are in the NFL right now. The Raiders are so hapless that I take absolutely nothing of what happened in Philadelphia as actual reality. I know they won 31-0, the Eagles did, but that was because the Raiders are barely an NFL team, if they even are. Look, now that Jaden Daniels, we know, is not going to play again, I actually think that kind of helps Washington down the stretch play a little bit better. They were better last week against a Giant team that is clueless, but look, they still won the game on the road. Philly is not fixed. I don't trust that offense at all, even against the horrible Washington defense. I'm getting a whole seven. What, Washington scores 21 points in this game? I should be able to get there. So I'm going to take the seven with Gilly's Commanders in this one.
I'm going to do something for the first time this year. I had two plays on guessing lines. They always make my three Megapod picks, or at least some of them do. I'm going to have neither of those two in this. My third is Washington plus seven. Now that it's seven.
Oh, you're giving because it's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah. Washington.
What's guessing lines? What's that?
While you're still on your keister in your Pittsburgh basement toilet, that's what I'm doing. By the way, on that show, I had the Chargers and I had the Panthers. I don't like it as much as the Commodores now at plus seven. And I will just add this to what Jeff is saying. There is no way this line should be seven. Washington and Philly fans will tell you this, me and us, DJ Slybri, Brian Grayson, we always text each other, we always DM after a Philly-Washington game. He's a big Philly fan. every one of these games is close, feels like. Now, the NFC Championship wasn't, I am aware. But in terms of regular season games, they tend to be close. Full seven, I'll take the Commanders too. That's my third. There's all my picks. I'll be done by Saturday. Toddy, what's your first?
Or your second? You went first. It's time for Willie to ,give his first of his three games that ends up 1-2. He broke the record for most 1-2s in a row.
Here's the first of his picks that's going to end up 1-2. It's brutal. That's so mean. All right.
Don't give me the Tennessee Titans. I don't even know what the line is. I don't care what the line is. I think it's three. The Titans are going to win this game. Are you telling me the Chiefs, after all of these years of being in the playoffs, making the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl, their quarterback's hurt, they've been eliminated, they got a bunch of guys banged up, it's a shoddy makeshift offensive line that Mahomes was completely masking. You're going to tell me they get off the mat, rally the troops, and say, all right, guys, let's go win this game in Tennessee? I don't buy it. I think the Titans roll in this game. I know it's the Titans, but the Chiefs have beat up on all these teams for a decade now. This is still going to be a meaningful game for the Titans, I think, especially with a young quarterback. I think the Titans win the game. I will take them plus the points.
What about Minshew?
What about him?
You don't like him?
Their offensive line is a mess. I don't think people realize how banged up they were on the offensive line. And a lot of it was Mahomes just, Mahomes' magic keeping these plays alive. I think that the Titans win this game. I love
Will,
this point.
Is this your first pick on the Titans this year after picking them every week last year?
No, I had a couple times early in the year and they didn't cover then. I was like, just enough of this. And then they actually, of course, go on a run where they cover a few, but they've been okay. Ward's shown some signs. They've shown a little bit of improvement. This is, to me, more just the fate of the Chiefs. I don't think they get off the bus here.
Yeah, Chiefs have not been in most of these guys are still from previous years. They've never been in this position before. They have no idea what this is. This game doesn't count? What is this?
What a horrible football game this is probably going to be.
Will, are you going to watch this game from start to finish?
I will keep an eye on this. I'll have a little quad box going. This will be there just because I will have a pretty good bet on the Titans here.
All right.
By the way, I was kidding about Willie. Next year, he's probably going to be like 33-21 or something. He's going to get the snapback effect next year. Now, it probably still won't be enough to win the Megapod, but it will be solid.
Had to throw that in. Todd, what's your second?
It's actually, technically it should be, well, we should let Jeff go next, actually.
All right, Jeff, your second, says Todd.
Oh, boy. I thought I was going to get another one. Are there any 2.5s left on Baltimore, or is it all three?
Baltimore, I am seeing, where did that game go? Threes everywhere.
Fine. We'll lay the three with the Ravens against the Patriots. Now, it's funny. When I've been on with Will this year, I bashed the Ravens a lot when I've been on your pod this year, but I'm very scared of what I saw last week from New England, where that game's 21-0. They're destroying Buffalo, and then everything just stopped. And New England has played such an awful schedule this year. Now we're starting to see teams that at least have some playoff pedigree. I know Baltimore has not had a good year. I know Lamar's clearly not healthy. I don't know what's going on with him and Harbaugh. They clearly don't like each other at the moment. But prime time, Baltimore with a chance to get back into first place after, again, Pittsburgh likely loses to Detroit earlier in the day. But this is more of a gut feeling more so than anything else, that New England is going to fade in this game. They'll beat the Jets. They'll beat Miami. They'll hold on to the division championship, and then they will lose to whoever they draw in round one in wild card weekend at home. I like Baltimore. I just think they find a way. I wish it was 2.5 still, but lay the three. Think they win by a touchdown on Sunday night.
This Baltimore is one of mine as well.
Oh, snap.
Okay.
I'll go back to the stats I gave last week about the Patriots being very fortunate on fourth down.
What's your pick?
Ravens -3. Patriots, I think it's now 14 of 18 they've converted on fourth down. Their opponents have not done well on fourth down. Seventh luckiest team the Patriots are in terms of recovering fumbles. And I'm not sure. Lamar, sometimes he looks like he's getting a little bit healthier. Sometimes it's like, all right, maybe he's not. He's always missing practice all these weeks. They said he had an illness on Wednesday. Guy seems to get sick a lot, but that's neither here nor there. The defense for the Ravens is actually playing much better after being awful the first half of the season. If you get one of these weeks where Lamar looks like Lamar, I just think you can have this Patriots defense 25th, 26th in DVOA. They're not good over the middle. I think the Ravens will come out and win this game.
Quoth the Raven. Chris Berman thought he was being clever about that. Here's the deal with the AFC North. Pittsburgh could lose both this week and next week, and all they still have to do is beat Baltimore the final week of the season. Easier said than done, but that's the position that Pittsburgh is in. And if Baltimore and Pittsburgh both win, which I don't think Pittsburgh will do as 7-point dogs to Detroit, but conceivably, if they both did win this week, then neither game that they play next week matters. Only the Baltimore-Pittsburgh.
Isn't it if Baltimore and Detroit both win?
What's that?
I think it's the thing. If Baltimore and Detroit both win, it's meaningless next week.
I think so.
Yeah.
It might be both ways. You are correct because Baltimore could conceivably lose next week. Right. So if Detroit, say again, if Baltimore so and Detroit.
Baltimore.
Chalk holds up. Chalk prevails.
Chalk holds you.
Baltimore.
I mean, next week is meaningless.
That is correct.
Yeah.
But the real thing is Pittsburgh doesn't have to do anything on Sunday.
But if I were Jens, I would be real careful with that stuff because, you know, I've been watching this Tomlin character for quite a while down here. And I remember many a game where the Steelers didn't need to win. We didn't need the game at all. But then we came out and kicked somebody's ass anyways. So if I was Jens, I'd be real careful betting against the Steelers in a meaningless game like maybe next week down here at the Brownies or something. Be careful.
Mike Tomlin in the final three games needs only a tie. They only need to go 0-2-1 for him to continue the streak of never having had a losing season. He's 18th in a row. Okay.
It's my second.
Your second.
Well, I'm going to sing a little song I haven't sung in quite a while, and it goes a little bit like this. Miami Dolphins over 47.5, over 47.5. They're playing the Cincinnati Bengals. They'll get theirs and they'll score as well. Okay.
You've turned the Miami Dolphins song into like, it sounds like a like early 1800s settler song.
Miami Dolphin. Anyways, the Miami Dolphins game. Now, granted, I may not get the right quarterback, right? I'm going to get a bad quarterback here, right?
Quinn Ewers is your starting quarterback.
Fiedler is starting.
Right.
Okay. That's right.
That scares me. All right. But remember, I'm playing the Bengals defense, and the Bengals defense is not ready for prime time. That is not a real defense, and I think they'll find a way to manufacture some points with whoever the quarterback is. And the Bengals just got shut out. So now you're telling me the Bengals are going to play a crap Miami team? They're going to want to come out and rip their faces off. I just think we're going to see points from Cincinnati, and then who doesn't score points against Cincinnati? So give me the over 47.5, and you know, we'll be rooting for turnovers at their own 15 by Ewers or whoever, and we'll get there. Over 47.5, Miami Dolphins.
Okay. Try to keep in mind where that mic is, Todd. All right. Will, number two.
The mic is right here.
Oh, yeah. I went Ravens. I gave my second.
He and I are both on Baltimore.
I really wish I could keep track.
But now it's actually should be Willie's turn because of the
speed. That's what I said.
Yes.
Yeah.
So give my final one?
Yeah.
What do we have for Lions Steelers?
7-7. 52, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll lay it with Detroit. I'm not sure Pittsburgh on a short week where they know all we got to do is beat Baltimore in week 18. Do you rush Watt and some of these guys that are banged up? Do you rush them back or do you just look at the big picture? Plus, Detroit's more talented. Detroit's motivated. They need the game like blood to stay in the playoff hunt here. And they're just better. They're off a loss. I'll lay it. I still think Pittsburgh, even though you got a coin flip to get a playoff home game, who knows? Maybe they get the right draw and they win a playoff game for the first time in a decade or so. That's still a very flawed team, even though Rodgers has played well here. I think Detroit gets in the upper 20s, low 30s, and I don't think Pittsburgh can keep up. I'll lay the 7 here with the Lions.
I like it. Pittsburgh got nothing to play for, really, truly. And Detroit has everything to play for. By the way, the Detroit-Chicago thing is interesting because right now Chicago's on the top of the NFC North, half game ahead of Green Bay. And then the Lions are 2 games behind the Bears. But there are only 7 musical chairs, and there are 8 candidates in the NFC. And I think it's going to come down to Detroit and Chicago in week 18. If Chicago loses this game to Green Bay this weekend, then that's probably what's going to happen, because Chicago has it rough the rest of the way. They've got this home game against Green Bay. Chicago does. Then their following two games
are at San Francisco on Sunday night.
At San Francisco, and then home Detroit for the showdown. Chicago, who leads the NFL with a plus 20 turnover differential. That's insane. Not quite the plus 43 of the 1983 Washington Redskins, but you understand. And this just in, the reason I bring this up, this just in now, breaking about the Bears. This I did not see coming. Bears wide receivers Rome Odunze and Luther Burden both ruled out for Saturday night versus the Packers. Huge.
Is the game getting played in Gary after what Kevin Warren penned on Wednesday night?
What did he say?
Oh, that they're expanding the search for the new stadium to Northwest Indiana.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there we go.
Wow. Wow.
NFL and Gary, get excited. Oh, man, that'd be a lot of fun, right, Gil?
Most famous people from Gary, Indiana, Jeff?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
The Jackson 5. Okay. The Jacksons.
Okay. No. Well, then. Would not have gotten that.
Okay.
Would not have gotten that. So it's time for my third?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I'm a glutton for punishment that I'm going to this game. We're going to the Meadowlands for Hill's Minnesota Vikings.
Man.
And the New York Giants. We are laying it with J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings on the road against the Giants, because the Giants will find a way to lose this game by 4 points. I don't care how it will happen. I don't know how it will happen. McCarthy might throw a pick six mixed in there, and I might have to be fighting from behind at the end of the game. But the New York Giants of 2025 have done something that I have been hoping the New York Jets have managed to find a way to do for 15 years. Find a way to lose every single close game in a year that you need a high-end draft pick, which the Giants don't even need because they have the quarterback in place. I liked what I saw from McCarthy last week against Dallas after the first drive. Granted, Dallas' defense is a joke, but I'm going to lay it. It's three now across the board, right? Yeah, we'll lay the three on the road with Minnesota. What can possibly go wrong, Will Hill, with laying your Vikings on the road against any NFL team that isn't the Raiders at this point?
Gilly, you just gave the NFC North scenarios. Can you just double check and make sure there's no path for the Vikings to win the division?
I'm being told they are out. By the way, the Vikings are pissing me off because I have an alternate season under on them. Right now, over the Giants, what you're saying, Jeff, is true. The Giants in Las Vegas, Giants and the Raiders have both lost 8 in a row.
Yep.
And those two losing streaks cannot be any more different. Giants are in every game. They managed to lose it. Raiders aren't even close to winning games. Right now, the draft order, currently on the clock, the New York football Giants. Raiders would have the second pick. Titans would have the third. Followed top 10 by, ready for this? Cleveland, the Jets, Arizona 6th, New Orleans 7th, Washington 8th, Cincinnati 9th. And any guesses who has the 10th pick?
It's the Rams because of the Rams. Falcons, yeah.
The Rams have the 10th pick because they got it for Pierce.
Yep.
I'll be fascinated what the Giants over-under win total is next year, as a couple guys who have their under, and I think we bet worse record too, Gilly. There's a path where you get neighbors back, you get Scadable right, you get the right coach, you get a top pick, and who knows, maybe you could do the thing where you get the first pick and you turn that into a bunch of picks. There's a path for them. You squint and you could start to see the makings of a pretty good team, or at least a decent, you know, core there.
My first bet of the summer, Giants win total under.
Me too.
And
we were freaking out because they got two pretty quick and they beat the Eagles. Like, oh man, this is in trouble. But you looked at the schedule, it was like, well, they got two, but are there any more coming?
Schedule was brutal. And then the injuries came. You've given all three, Jeff?
I've given all three.
Toddy?
What's the Falcons-Cardinals line?
There are some, by the way, as many great games as there are this weekend, it only follows that there are some, boy, brutal.
You're not excited for Jets-Saints, Gil? Not excited for that?
Cardinals, what do you love, the side or the total?
Both.
Three. Falcons favored by 3 even money. Or no, it's kind of minus 110. It's normal. Falcons favored by 3 across the board. And the totality.
Like 48, right?
Boy, Jeff knows these by heart.
Well, I just looked it up a moment ago because I almost took the overs in that game as my third one.
48 rules over 47.5. Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to see. It's down for me. I have both these written down. I have the Giants +3 written down to go against Mr. Parles. And I also have the Arizona Cardinals. You know what? I'll just do the Arizona Cardinals. Give me the Arizona Cardinals +3. Curtis Cousins on the road. Yeah, I know they got lucky against Tampa when the guy's butt cheek was down, but the towel was down, but the elbows. I still do not think that was that should have been a touchdown. I was happy it was a touchdown, but I don't think it was a touchdown. I believe his elbow came down simultaneously with the butt cheek, and they should not have been credited that touchdown. However, are the Falcons a good team? I mean, we've been all over the place with the Falcons. You're good, you're bad, you're good, you're bad, you're terrible, you're great. We've been all over the place with this ridiculous team. And we get the crazy coaching of the Falcons, the idiot who goes for it on 4th and 12 with 3 timeouts, and the same idiot who, after the DeMarcado fumble, decides to run it 3 times into the line and blow that game. And then on the other side, we have Raheem, a nice man, but not exactly an NFL coach. I just feel like the Cardinals, I know they're all beat up. They still have Bake McBride at tight end, baby, with his afro for the Philadelphia Phillies. That guy, oh my gosh, he could just catch everything. I just don't trust the Falcons with Kirk Cousins to go on the road and win by margin. It's only 3. I mean, it's 3 points. That's, you know, I just see the Cardinals can slip in here, the +3, and get me home. And so I'll take the Cardinals +3. I just don't trust the Falcons on the road like this.
Was it earlier in the year who had the sponsors for all the different games? This game would be sponsored by Indeed, because both these coaches should have their resumes ready pretty soon here.
By the way, didn't the Cardinals just lose on the road? I mean, didn't Arizona just lose on the road to the Jets?
They lost to Houston.
Atlanta lost to the Jets about 3 weeks.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Atlanta just lost to the Jets. So if Atlanta can lose to the Jets, they can lose to the Cardinals.
That Atlanta-Tampa Bay game last Thursday night, though, deserves a mention before we let it just go into the past. The number of things that had to happen perfectly. Any one of these things doesn't happen, the Bucs win that game against the Falcons. But the two fumble recoveries, you mentioned the butt cheek touchdown, right? Because they had to go with the call on the field, so it was a touchdown. But the two fumbles, remember the one where there's like 4 creamsicle jerseys around the ball, and somehow the offensive lineman poked his nose in and got it. Even like Tirico was it Tirico? Yeah, Tirico was completely confused. Al was confused. And then remember the other one, simultaneous recovery?
Yeah, I've never heard that one before, Gil.
There was that.
By the way, why does Al, and I hate when you guys pick on Al because I love Al, even though you guys are 100% right.
I don't pick on Al.
Well, Will does. Will picks on Al.
I don't pick on him. I just point out things that I notice.
But it's funny when he does the games now, he almost feels like he's just like, and he throws over there, 3rd and 12. Okay, they're coming back. And he's almost like, okay, I want to go take out the garbage or something. You know, so he kind of just says, third.
Todd, it's like, don't pick on Al. Then Todd proceeds.
Because I said you guys are rightly picking on him. However, I love him, so I feel like he gets a special dispensation.
I have a theory for that, Todd. I can answer your question, unless it was rhetorical. I think at his age, he doesn't really trust his eyes anymore, and he's slower to see what's going on. So he's afraid to get excited because he's unsure of actually what he's seeing. So there's a little hesitance that causes that lack of enthusiasm.
But do you catch that same thing that I do?
Yes.
Where he's like, okay, well, I took out the garbage. I fed the dog on 3rd and 6. Okay, they got that. 4th and 6. He's like, what's he doing? It's so weird.
That was an amazing game. Amazing game. Then Bucks going for the kill shot on 2nd down. They pass. It's incomplete. It's a whole thing.
Oh, wait a second. Before you go to the teasers.
Oh, no.
22-17, 8 seconds to play, 4th and 5, and 4th and goal, sorry, from the 5-yard line, the Rams trail. This is it. This is for all the marbles, Jim. Back to Pasco Stafford. He looks in the corner to Nacua. The ball's tipped in the air. Did Higbee come down with it? I think he did, but Wade hits the pylon at the same time. I'm not sure if it's a touchdown. Jim, what did you think? They gave him a touchdown on the field. Oh my God, it's 20. I don't even know what the score is, but it's over. And also the Rams cover.
Great call.
And also the Rams cover. That's what he said at the end of the call. And also the Rams cover. Jim. I love Jim. Always there for you if you need need assistance on the play-by-play. Did we all do the picks? Everybody do three already?
Yeah.
All right. Teaser of the week. Jeff, we start with you. What's your teaser of the week?
I will go.
You okay, Todd? You need some oxygen?
I need to take a nap. I'm tired.
Got a head rush over there? Jesus.
Chargers 8.5 against the Cowboys. And I'll take the Lions down from 7-1. So we'll go Detroit and the Chargers as the two-legger this week.
All righty. Toddy.
I have the Chargers written down as well. So I'm going to also go with the chart. Is it 8 or 8.5? Do we get on that?
Is it back to 2? It doesn't matter. I take them regardless.
Right. No, I understand. I just want to get it right for
Chargers
the paperwork.
Would be 8.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So Chargers, we're going with Chargers plus 8. And I'm going to take as my second one, I'm going to take the 49ers, a little club down in going to the Colts. And I just don't think the 49ers are going to lose to Phil Rivers. So give me the Niners pick them.
Will and I would love to reprise our Philip Rivers comeback player of the year discussion here from the radio side, but we don't want to get into the weeds on it. Philip Rivers, I do think the best point you made, Will, was how much those announcers wanted to make a thing out of his performance.
Oh, yeah.
So ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And God. He made a yard there when he stumbled like an old man.
And yeah. I was on with you the day after I bet. I was like, you know what? It was 18-1. I felt stupid betting it. And maybe it was stupid. And I kind of regretted it. And a lot of people were very quick to tell me, hey, that's a really stupid bet. You have no shot, which maybe it is. But it can't be that bad when you bet something 18-1. A few days later, it's like 3-1 or plus 350. So I have no idea. That's why I took a shot at the 18-1. I could see him. I don't know if he wins one of these games or he has a good performance on Monday night. I never know with comeback player of the year. So I took a shot at a long number.
Well, plus, there's no definition of the award, right? Well, so
there's more of an outline now. But they still leave it open-ended a little bit.
Even the other circumstances clause, though, the spirit of it is not what people try to make it out to be with him. Philip Rivers should not win this under any circumstance. I think JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, or Vison says he will jump from the studio into the sports book swan dive if Rivers wins that. It's just the difference between, again, Alex Smith years ago when we said, if he steps on the field, he's immediately the comeback player of the year because he had 17 leg surgeries, right? And then we amended it to, on primetime action, if he throws one forward pass, and then Alex Smith goes on and like leads the league 1 week in passing with 390 yards for the Skins. We are now applying that kind of thing to Philip Rivers. And he didn't have any surgery or anything. He just decided one day to get off his ass. And we're like, comeback player of the year. Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, got that health insurance for all of his 12 kids now again, Gil.
Yeah.
And I know he did not much in the game, to say the least. He had a lead with 40-something seconds to go. I mean, that is such a smoke and mirrors performance. That is, we made the comparison to like a pitcher who's just, you know, got nothing left or hurt his arm and he's just somehow finding a way to get people. That was just the ultimate smoke and mirror performance.
It is such a testament to like the announcers being so desirous of something. There was a 3rd-and-7 conversion where Rivers threw a quick out duck that looked like this duck falling to the ground. I think it was Josh Downs or somebody. And he converts it, right, all yak. And the announcer's like, what a heady play by Rivers. And on the other hand, we were talking about like the Justin Herbert snubbing of the gorgeous Laura Rutledge, may we just say.
I mean, she's attractive, but I don't know why you guys go overboard.
Okay, stop it. And then Justin Herbert snubs her, right? And then like gets his mind back and does the interview. If that was Shedeur Sanders, they would murder him. Like they would just kill him for that. But it's Justin Herbert. Tough break, but he got back in there and he had it up and he did that interview. Good for him.
To bring the group chat back to life a little bit here, Todd kind of disagreed with Gilly because Todd, you said at one point, if Rivers wins this game, it's the greatest sports story of the year.
Yes,
and you're like, he's playing pretty well. So it's not like it's just the announcer. My boy Toddy here did disagree with Gilly, which he's afraid of.
Well, I mean, I just thought if he wins the game coming off his couch 5 years later, that's pretty crazy, don't you think?
Against the best defense in the NFL. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. He threw for 120 yards. Everybody relax. All right. Whose turn is it on the teaser?
I think it's Willie, right?
Willie?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go. What do we have for Packers Bears?
It is one. One
which way?
Bears. So you're in favor of the. Oh, it's a Saturday. My bad. Oh, I see him pick them now, actually. Pick them across.
There are three games this week where every time I look, I swear there's a new favorite by a point and a half. Yeah. It keeps flipping. Rams, Seahawks, Bama, Oklahoma, and this Bears Packers game just continues to flip. I'll go Lions and I'll tease the Chargers up. I'll be boring. I'll go that way.
Wait, so you're going Lions?
Lions and Chargers.
So much I am. Yep.
By the way, Willie, you have an opportunity now to jump off your pick of the Crystal Balls in the playoff game. I've heard, I listened to a show named A Numbers Game, and I heard you betting on the Miami Hurricanes with Crystal Ball as the coach. I don't know if you know who this guy is. He lost two games where he could have taken a knee and won the game and ruined both my bets. Now, you're going to take this guy in the playoff game. Here's a chance for an off-road, an off-ramp. Do you want to get off your Miami pick? Crystal Ball is the coach.
I will stay on it. Your concerns are valid. There are some efforts. I can't say too much, but there are some efforts in order to get Cristobal framed for some sort of heinous crime between now and the game so he can't coach it. We'll see. That's all I can really say at the moment. But if we can somehow get a different coach between now and Saturday, that would help. That team's loaded with talent, though. It does worry me a little bit, Cristobal, and everyone seems to be on Miami, though.
He's not moving. Chargers, Lions. Chargers, Lions. Add me to the group.
Chargers, Lions, forget.
Chargers are one of my plays on guessing lines, and I don't see any way the Lions lose that football game to the Steelers. All right, which brings us to our final two questions of each and every Megapod. Jeffrey Parles, of all the big favorites, and here are your candidates.
I thought one of the questions was, where do they have the best pizza at the South Point? And Jeffrey would be able to tell us.
What's the popcorn hack at the South Point?
You go to bowling alley, you get the large popcorn for $3.95 or whatever it is now, and you have a fun time.
It's really good popcorn upstairs. Here's the thing with the Del Mar Deli. They have things that are really good, like the bagels, you know, with the lox spread and the chicken, the matzo ball soup. And they got a lot of goods. They got the corned beef sandwich down there, but they have horrible pizza at the Del Mar Deli right there at the sports book. However, and they don't have popcorn. However, if you go upstairs to the bowling alley, you get that big, gigantic tub of popcorn from the bowling alley, and it's cheap as hell. And you get pizza up there that's delish. And they also have tater tots if you get in the mood.
This from a guy who, by the way, when we go to the South Point buffet back in the day, would go to the omelet station, order his omelet, say to me, his friend who's right there ordering an omelet too, you stay here and wait for my omelet. And then Todd takes that time to go all around the buffet and fill up his other two plates.
Yeah, it's efficiency.
Good use of time. While I'm sitting there like an
idiot. If I was the nerve to make fun of me for eating too much, making fun of my children for eating too much,
it does make nerve on this guy.
Because I know what it's like to be a big fat chaser like you guys. I've been a thin guy. I've been a fatso. And I know both sides.
Don't oversell it. He makes fun of one of your children.
True. Yes.
Even worse, actually. That's right.
By the way, just so you know, if I was a college basketball team being graded on efficiency points per possession, I'd be like, you know, Michigan, 1.4 points for possession, because I am smart in taking that time during the egg being cooked to go hit all the other spots.
No one's saying you're not smart, but you're using your friend to do that.
No, I just know my friend doesn't know what he's doing, so he's going to stand in the line like all the other dopes.
His friend is in shell-shocked that you would ask him to do. Anyway, here are the favorites, Jeff. You ready?
Go for it.
Two of these most likely, I come to you from the future, I say one of these lost outright. Eagles, 7-point favorites on the road at the Commodores. Bills, 10.5-point favorites on the road against the Cleveland Browns. Not a lot of these this week. Lions, 7-point favorites at home against the Steelers. Texans, 2-touchdown favorites at home against the Raiders. And I'll throw in this one just for good measure. Niners, 6-point favorites on the road against the Colts on Monday night.
By the virtue of my number one pick this week, I'll say the Eagles.
I like it.
Even though I would not be floored if Buffalo has a hard time with Cleveland. As ridiculous as that may sound, Cleveland's defense, if they give an honest effort, which has been an if recently, they should be able to slow Buffalo's run game down at least a little bit, but I'll go with the Eagles being the most likely big favorite to lose.
I like everything about what you just said. I'm on the Eagles too, as the most likely to lose outright, and Buffalo feels like there's a clunker in them coming. It's kind of their brand. Todd, in the darkness.
It wouldn't shock me if the Bills lost, actually. But it is Shedeur Sanders, so I don't know. I can't get behind that, really. I guess I'll just go with the Eagles like everybody else.
Wow. All right. Will?
John Riggins, Joe Gibbs, Daryl Green. I mean, Mark Brunell. It's got to be just because of franchise lore, if nothing else.
Holy. besides Brunell, everybody else.
I still don't trust Philly. I still don't trust Hurts, so I wouldn't be shocked. Should be a close game.
Let's do it. All right. And then, Jeffrey, you live in a bizarre world. You got to bet 15 out of 16 games on the side. You get one free pass on the 16-game schedule where you're like, okay, I got to bet 15. This is the one I want no part of. It is what?
The New York Jets.
Great
and
answer.
New Orleans Saints. Because if Aaron Glenn did not fire Steve Wilks on Monday, I would have come on this show and laid the points with New Orleans. But I am a little concerned that the Jets are going to get some bizarro bump from firing the defensive coordinator. Guys, they don't have an interception this year. It's week 16. That's impossible. So, like, randomly, the Jets are going to, like, force multiple interceptions.
So they broke the record.
Yes, they broke the record last week.
The Niners had 14 weeks in a row. Now it's 15 for the Jets.
Yes, and it's impossible what they've done. But I don't know. I mean, look, what, New Orleans is up to five and a half? Like, New Orleans has been a favorite one time this year.
That's too many points.
So we're gonna stay. That would be the one I would completely skip. Two horrible teams, but you know what? Knowing the Jets' history, would it shock you if the Jets won the game and screwed up the draft pick?
Bro.
Would it shock you if they did that?
New Orleans 5.5, I'm looking at in a lot of places.
They're going to lose. New Orleans is going to lose outright. I should have taken the Jets, actually.
That Jets stat with no interceptions. So they broke the record from the beginning of the year a few weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners had the most consecutive weeks without an interception in a row, 14, which didn't start at the beginning of the season. I think that was last year. And now the Jets have all of those records.
Well, it's 14 because they did have an interception against Huntley week 18 last year. So
No. I'm saying with the Niners, it was 14 weeks in a row last year.
Got it.
So the Jets are now. Oh, so the Jets are 14.
They're at 14.
So
they've right. Matched they've matched it. Okay. They've won more because they intercepted Huntley last year, week 18.
The also interesting thing about the Jets one is I read a stat where they're not even like in terms of. Whatever the stat is in terms of corners.
They're not close to covering the guys.
No. Opposite. They are actually kind of close, and yet they can't come up with a pick.
Well, they should have had four against Tua last week and dropped three, or 2 weeks ago and dropped three of them. So
Poor Tua. All right. I have a definite one here. Todd, what's yours? You want no part of what?
The Jaguars and the Broncos, I don't really want to bet on that game because
it's a good one.
On the one hand, it's the Broncos, great defense, are at home. And then the other hand, it's the Jaguars. Are they now all of a sudden a good team? Like, what's going on here? I'm not sure.
There is only one correct answer to this question this week. Will?
Bengals, Dolphins?
No, I was going to say Falcons, Cardinals.
That's a good one, too. How in the hell? Another Todd grievance. I texted in the group chat when they announced Tua wasn't going to play. I said, Bengals -140 is a good bet. And of course, it moves to, two or three points. And then Todd texts an hour and a half later, it moved. I can't get that number. What's going on? That's like a pass post. It wasn't a pass post.
Wow. Willie's still complaining because I told him that I had the Atlanta Dream at halftime -3 in a regular season WNBA game, and the Dream went on to smash somebody. He's like, is that -3 still available? Like giving me the business because I didn't give him the Dream -3 exactly when he wanted it. Oh my God.
He keeps bringing up the Dream -3. Chas v'chalila that we shouldn't get a bet on that when it's available to us. Chas v'shalom. That and the other one that we keep killing you for is when you don't stipulate on the Discord if it's
one letter, extra game.
I started putting on the Discord board. It's halftime. It's on the go fuck yourself board. Somebody on the Discord board is like, What's the go fuck yourself board? What's that?
Are you in there, Parles? Jeff, are you doing the college basketball thing?
Of course. Okay. How could I not? It's the best bankroll builder in the world is listening to that.
Sure is. Yeah.
All right. It's a full-time job, even not even originating, because you take your eyes off the phone for a minute. You miss a pick, and then the picks, they're very time sensitive. But, hey, it is worth it.
It's so good, though, that, like, if I have stuff to do, like, if you actually have something to do in life, I have to hang out and go to dinner, or I have to do this or that, whatever, it is such FOMO, because you're like, oh, God, yes. I'm sure he's, like, 10-3 by this point. Kind of thing. So,
but I don't know why you can't take your phone with you and have it ding, and then
because it's socially frowned upon while I'm with other humans to
what
do this.
What kind of person is not going to understand between the appetizer and the bougie?
Answer to that question. Every person who doesn't bet.
Well, do we even count those people as people? I mean, who doesn't bet? What's up with that? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I have a few of those in my life. So that's a problem.
No, you just say, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom just for a minute. Ding.
Like Steve Martin in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Excuse me, can I go to the bathroom? Pause. Thank you. There he goes. Great movie, by the way, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. All right, we've done all we can do. Todd Wishnev, at T Wishnev on Twitter. College basketball Discord frozen for now. Maybe one day you'll add more people, Todd. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm not saying for sure. I mean, you know, we'll see.
Okay. Just got too big.
It's really big.
But check him out at T Wishnev for him to open it back up. Showtime Action is the name of a docuseries where Todd is featured. Will Hill, the host of the Should Have Bet More podcasts, and also writing for Fox Sports. You write every week for foxsports.com?
Three times a week.
All right. What's your favorite college football play of the first round? What is it?
I think Oregon absolutely buries James Madison.
Oregon buries. Does Tulane have a shot in hell against Ole Miss?
I don't think so. It was 45-10 the first time, and Ole Miss outgained it by 300-something yards. Why would it look that much different without Kiffin?
And that quarterback's not that good for Tulane. I'm sorry. I know you love him, but come on.
That's where I was going.
He's not that good.
Are you suggesting that Jake Retzlaff can't win this game? Is that what you're suggesting?
Also, he has too much sexuality. That's what got him in trouble at Brigham Young. If he could have kept his schlonger in his pants, he could have, you know, continued to, lead that team.
So, you know, their kids walking outside in the fishbowl. They're getting your audio. So just wanted to point that out.
What did I say? Schlong?
That's correct.
It was actually schlonger.
Schlonger.
Can't forget the end of that. Yeah.
All right. And Will is at not the Will Hill, two E's on the V on Twitter. And Jeff Parlay.
Jeffrey Parles. Holy cow. He's from the Ian Eagle Broadcasting Camp of America, one of the great broadcasting camps of our time.
Remember how much we enjoyed that story?
That was the greatest.
You just Ian Eagle, too? Not as bad as the Yanni Agle story, which is a great one. But yeah, no, Gil, Todd, Will, awesome to be with you guys. 2 years was too long to have a little gap, but was beyond my control for not being with the guys sooner. So appreciate it. ESPN Las Vegas now is where you predominantly hear me on the Todd. Something called the radio still exists. I don't know if you know that or not.
I know there's such a thing as the radio because once in a while I'll be listening to a Hawaii radio station to listen on the internet to listen to the Hawaii game. So I know that there still is radio.
Jeff, you know Ian Eagle pretty well, right? Or a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely.
How great of a guest would he be on the Megapod? I know he probably doesn't have time with it being in football season, but he's got such an underrated, and at times he can just be like as vulgar as anyone. He would be, man, if there would be one like dream Megapod guest, he would be great on that.
He would be awesome. Like, I don't know how much he partakes in betting, so I don't know how true on that. But I think all it would take would be one glance at Toddy, and the content would be absolutely outstanding.
One glance at Toddy.
Doesn't have to hear him. One glance at Toddy and the cork background in the mysterious East Coast place that Todd's at.
Do you think after an hour and a half he'd be like, for God's sakes, get me out of here? This kid with the beard and
Brad Musburger loves me, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
The only person who had an aversion to you, and he denies this now, is Jeff Schwartz. He denies it.
He didn't like the Jew talk. We read too much Jew talk. He didn't like it, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, he's more Jewish than all of us put together. So I don't know what that was about.
There you go.
is he eliminated from further consideration? Is that
wait? Was there was a bit of a backlash from some Megapod listeners that they were like, "Yeah, we didn't really like that he didn't respect the game, if you will." So okay. I don't know. Backlash. I don't know. I like Jeff. Good guy. Just didn't really like Todd that much. I can't understand that. Who wouldn't love this guy?
I mean, how can you not like me? I don't understand I don't get it. It's like the Seinfeld when the mother goes, who couldn't like Jerry? You're so likable.
Knowing Todd and knowing Jeff, I don't think that's true that Jeff didn't like him. I think he just got frustrated with maybe the length of it and he had something to do or something.
That's what it was, Will. It was the fact that, and Todd, don't take this the wrong way, but this is an honest assessment. I don't
think that's what it was because it was early on in the pod. I'm sorry.
Finish the sentence. Todd, for all of his strengths, and there are many strengths. He's a very smart guy. He's a very funny guy. Basketball in game. And by the way, he knows his way around a buffet very well. However, Todd doesn't really get the sort of broadcast instinct of wrapping shit up. You know what I mean?
No, and maybe so I do get it, and I don't care. It's none of their business when it's going to wrap up.
You don't get it. Because like an hour 20 in, when I'm like giving you cues, it's time to wrap it up. You're like, hey, Jeff, when you were at Oregon, game 7 of your junior year.
You know what? I'm going to go find that whole thing, and I'm going to listen to it again, and I'm going to prove you all wrong.
Okay, you do that. You do that.
Where do I find that, by the way?
So stupid. Where do I find Todd, Will, and Jeff Parlay? Thank you, Jeff. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Gilly.
Leave a review.
Yes, rate, review, and what's the other one?
Subscribe.
Gilly's like, subscribe. I'm new to this podcast game. How do I promote the podcast?
Rate, review, and subscribe. That's right. Please do so. And good luck with all your bets. Week 16 in the National Football League. And happy holidays to all. Thank you for listening.